in acts that are increasingly ambiguous. On stages where the settings are far more important than ourselves, we know we are contiguous to nothingness, with close to zero as our score. We start forgetting fantasies that we minutely observed before our powers ebbed away, and we could act no longer as we did when resolutely we followed all our fancies, feeling fresh and free. When this occurs to us, our life becomes more clear, for while the play goes on, we know the curtain fell before we understood the plot, and wait to hear the chimes at midnight that will buzz us into hell. This happened. Art experts failed to recognize that Poussin painted the theft of the menorah from the temple, for which we condemn the Romans, who removed its holy vessels as their stolen prize, misplacing its location to ancient Carthage instead of Jerusalem, failing to recognize the presence of the menorah that the Romans had poached in Poussin's painting, echoing how the bas-relief beneath the Arch of Titus, no exiled Jewish adorer of the menorah, depicts. Poussin was of Jewish faces, artistically not theological, a thief. Their absence echoes how the prehistoric art upon the walls of caves depicting prehistoric living beings never any human face recalls. Indeed, the absence of Jewish faces in the carving beneath Titus's arch has led to a revisionist deduction, suggesting that no Jews were exiled from Jerusalem to Rome after the Holy Temple's tragic destruction. In A Tale of Two Paintings and One City, ideas.tikva.org, the 12th of July 18, Mayor Soloveitchik writes, "This is a tale of two paintings by two 17th century masters. Both depict the same historical event. In every other respect, they present a complete contrast. The first painting has a fascinating backstory. During World War II, an eccentric Englishman by the name of Ernest Onions made a fortune with his invention of Tottenham pudding, a form of pig's wool produced from waste food. Having amassed his millions, Onions became an art collector, purchasing canvases at country fairs and garage sales and accumulating some 500 works in all. On his death in the early 1990s, his heirs consigned the whole lot to Sotheby's, which rushed out a catalog on the assumption that none of the paintings was especially valuable. One image in the catalog, depicting the destruction of an ancient city and an army bearing loot out of a building in flames, happened to catch the eye of the art historian Dennis Mahon. The painting had been identified by Sotheby's as the Sack of Carthage, a work by the minor artist Pietro Testa, and was listed at the suggested price of 15,000 liras. Looking carefully, however, Sir Dennis, an expert in the art of the great French Baroque painter Nicolas Poussin, 1594-1665, suspected that Sotheby's attribution was incorrect. What may have tipped him off was that among the looted objects was a menorah, which meant that the city wasn't Carthage after all. Or perhaps he noticed the picture's striking similarity to a 1638 painting by Poussin titled Conquest of Jerusalem by the Emperor Titus. Mahon's intuition had clued him into the greatest art discovery of the 20th century. In 1626, Poussin had created an earlier rendition of the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple by the Roman general Titus. That work, commissioned by a nephew of the Pope, had been given as a gift to Cardinal Richelieu but then repeatedly changed hands and became lost. The later painting by Poussin was thus a second version. Now, once Sotheby's canvas was cleaned, Mahon's hunch was confirmed. He had identified a Poussin, the destruction and sack of the Temple of Jerusalem, that, lost for 300 years, was worth millions. How had Sotheby's experts missed what Mahon saw? The answer might lie in Poussin's artistic choices. His temple looks nothing like the ancient temple in Jerusalem, but rather like a duplicate of the ancient Greek Parthenon. In addition, the main characters in the painting aren't the Jews but the Romans. As Rabbi Jonathan Sacks noted at a celebration of the find at the National Gallery, Poussin had managed to portray a Jewish tragedy almost without Jews. In Balancing Acts, a response to Shai Secunda, Jewish Review of Books, Summer 2026, David Kremer defends his book, Embracing Exile, from Secunda's charge that Kremer ignores Jewish oppression by Gentile foes while dwelling on texts that focus on exiled Jews' favorable treatment. Kremer draws to the reader's attention that many of the legends about the oppression of Jews may be false, pointing out as an example the fact that no Jewish exiles are depicted in the famous illustration of Jews under the Arch of Titus, as Doran Lopez has pointed out. Gershon Hepner is a poet who has written over 25,000 poems on subjects ranging from music to literature, politics to Torah. He grew up in England and moved to Los Angeles in 1976. Using his varied interests and experiences, he has authored dozens of papers in medical and academic journals, and authored Legal Friction, Law, Narrative, and Identity Politics in Biblical Israel. He can be reached at gershonhepner@gmail.com.